Our scripture today comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires and you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comment section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, remember you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. We are continuing in this series from 1 Peter, in which the Apostle Peter, the rock upon whom Jesus did early on build his church, he was trying to encourage those earliest believers to hold on to their faith. They were scattered throughout what was now modern Turkey and were being persecuted for their faith. They were different than most. They didn't sacrifice to idols. They didn't involve themselves in ritual prostitution. They followed a traditional sexual ethic, no adultery, sex reserved for committed covenant marriage. They honored those in authority, but also recognized a higher power, their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Their simple message was, Jesus was God's Messiah, God's anointed one. A Jewish man who had lived, was crucified, died, and was buried, but rose again and ascended into heaven and one day would return again. And the resurrection was at the center of their story. Well, believers then as now were ridiculed, criticized, and persecuted for their faith. Peter's overarching theme was remember. He said, in the midst of this current crisis, I want you to remember some basic foundational truths. First of all, remember who you are. You are God's chosen ones. Though you're scattered and persecuted, you are God's chosen one, special, and part of His unfolding eternal plan. Secondly, remember what you have. You have a living hope and a future inheritance. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, you have living hope in the present and a future inheritance waiting for you in heaven. Speaking of that living hope, on Confirmation Sunday 3 weeks ago, we had 7 young people who declared their faith in Jesus Christ. They were baptized and confirmed. They were prayed for and welcomed into our church. What a glorious day for them, their families, and all of us. We all celebrated that living hope that springs forth from these young people and their families because of Jesus. So remember who you are, remember what you have, and remember how to respond. Have faith during trials. We are gonna have trials, but God can use them to grow our faith, to grow our character, and it's faith and love that will see us through our trials. Stories told of a woman who couldn't decide on which shoes she wanted. The salesman was more than patient, bringing out pair after pair. Still, she couldn't decide and wanted to see more shoes. When he had dragged out over half of his stock of shoes, he paused and asked her, "Ma'am, do you mind if I rest a few minutes?" He says, "Your feet are killing me." How do we respond to trials? We exercise our faith and love during trials. That's what we've been learning. Today, I want to pick up another of Peter's themes, and it is this. Peter says, remember your call to action. Take these action steps, post action in the chat. Peter is reminding Christ followers, listen, you have received all these expressions of God's grace in your life. He's given them freely, though not without great personal cost. Therefore, you ought to respond. Because of God's mighty acts of salvation and love, we ought to respond with actions of our own. And that's what I want to talk about today, our call to action. I remember as a kid, somewhere around maybe second grade, having a great appreciation one day for all that my mother was doing around our home. She prepared food. She had us wearing clean clothes. She kept a tidy home for me and my dad and my six siblings. I remember having a great sense of gratitude about all of that and deciding that I wanted to help. So one evening, I asked, Mom, is there something that I could do to help you around here? And she took a tea towel and she showed me how to dry dishes. So that night, I started drying dishes. I didn't realize then I was actually signing up for a long-term contract, but that was okay. I wanted to help. Eventually, I also learned how to run the vacuum sweeper, take out the trash, a few other things too. I'd seen all that my mother was doing, appreciated it, and wanted to help. I had wanted to spring into action myself. It seems that the Apostle Peter was wanting to encourage first century believers to do the same thing. Spring into action. Take some action steps. And he had some suggestions for all Christ followers as we do it. He begins in our text from 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. God has provided you this wonderful salvation that even the prophets of old spoke about. First of all, prepare your minds for action. Our response starts with the mind. If our thinking is straight, our actions will more than likely be straight. If our thinking is misguided, misinformed, our actions will more than likely be misguided, misinformed too. I found this quote from a woman about men. I think it may be misguided. What do you think? She says, men are like fine wine. They start out like grapes, and it's our job to stomp on them and keep them in the dark until they mature into something you'd like to have dinner with. I think it's a bit misguided. The point is, right thinking leads to right actions. If we develop a biblical worldview about God, ourselves, and others, it will impact our actions. For instance, if we believe that God exists, that God loves us and cares for us, we will tend to have gratitude and thankfulness toward God. We will want to honor God and seek to please God as well, which causes us to love and care for others too. On the other hand, if we don't believe God exists, if we don't think He loves us or cares for us, then we won't have that same gratitude. We won't have desire to honor or please God. We won't have care or concerns about God or the things of God or for others. Think about yourself. If you believe that you are created in God's image and equipped with gifts and there's a plan for your life, you tend to live with hope, expectation, and purpose. There is room for God and transcendence and meaning beyond yourself. On the other hand, if you don't think those things and instead think that there is no creator, there's no special gifts that a creator has given, there's no larger purpose in life, well, then it's easy to lose hope, meaning, direction in life. There's no room for mystery, transcendence, and meaning beyond ourselves. All we're left with is ourselves. And we know ourselves. We are flawed. We're not perfect. We're in need of help. And yet, if there's no God, there's no help. Think about others. If we believe other people are likewise created in God's image, loved by God, and therefore worthy of our love, and people we too should care about, then we will have compassion and empathy and seek to help people, particularly people in need, because that's God's heart, to help the poor, the brokenhearted, the outcast, the downtrodden. But if we don't believe other people are created in God's image, that they aren't loved by God, aren't worthy of our love, not persons we really need to care about, then we'll have less compassion, less empathy, less conviction to help. Peter says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Get your thinking right. That's why we have Sunday school and small groups and Bible studies for children, youth, and adults of all ages to help us develop a biblical worldview and to prepare our minds for action. What a great need in our world today. What a great calling we have as members of the body of Christ, a church that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, established, that we might help people to understand the heart and the mind of the living God. It feels like in many ways today, we are failing. Lord, help us. Help us to be faithful stewards of your word, your gospel, and your truth in our day. Well, Peter continues in 1 Peter 1:13. He says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Post self-controlled in the chat. Peter starts with the mind. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Then he says, be self-controlled. As we respond to God and life with action steps, we need self-control. With self-control of our mind, body, spirit, and emotions, we tend to act reasonably, sensibly when pressure comes. Without it, we break down or are out of control. Think of all the areas of life where we need self-control: relationships, parenting, eating, health concerns, morality, finances. We need self-control in our driving too. There's always the person not driving quite as well as we are, and we are tempted to let them know about it. I needed extra self-control this week driving around Southern Hills with the PGA golf tournament in town. Certainly, a more compelling image of self-control under pressure continues to be the people of Ukraine, who are trying to resist and fight against the onslaught of the Russian army over these past 13 weeks. Every day there are new stories of courage, valor, and tremendous self-control in the face of the shelling, the destruction, and the loss of life. When severe pressures of life come, self-control of mind, body, and spirit is invaluable. According to Paul in Galatians 5:22, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit available to us is self-control. Peter encourages us, for whatever we're facing, be self-controlled. Peter goes on with his action steps in 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. You know, when Jesus is fully revealed, when one day his kingdom is fully established, we're going to enjoy special grace, a coming inheritance, our heavenly reward, eternal life with God. Peter says, set your hope fully on that and nothing else. At times I get worked up about the direction the world is going. I think today in much of our world, the broad road that leads to destruction that Jesus talked about is getting broader and broader. And more people are traveling on it. Hello? The increase of these hate-motivated mass shootings like the one that just happened in Buffalo are just one more evidence of this happening. This broad road of destruction today is not the road that God intends for us to be on. And yet Jesus said, the majority of people will be on it. The broad road that leads to destruction. That is heartbreaking. That weighs heavy on this pastor's heart. Peter's words remind me that I shouldn't put my hope fully on this world, my hope fully on this nation, my hope fully on this existence. Instead, I need to keep setting my hope fully on God and His grace, His love, His kingdom, His calling as it is revealed. Oh Lord, help us all. Peter continues his action steps. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to which to be given you when Jesus is revealed. And then verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. In our call to action in response to life and God's good gifts, we are to reflect the new life that we're living through faith in Jesus. Our old evil desires are falling away as we allow the Holy Spirit of God to have more reign in our lives. Before, we were ignorant of our ways. But now, because of the light of the truth in our lives, we see our former darkness. 1 Peter 2:1, the apostle says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Sins of the heart like these are always trying to dog us, to pull us down. But because of what God has done in Jesus Christ, we no longer have to conform to the old ways. We can now conform to the new ways of life in the Spirit. A few years ago, I reconnected with one of my old high school classmates. He said, Bob, I no longer walk in my old ways. We were high school friends, and I knew some of those old ways because we walked in some of them together. High school friends sometimes do that. Bob, he said, I no longer walk in my old ways. Instead, I have found Jesus Christ. I found a whole new way of living, and now my passion is to help other people find Him. Well, his story warmed my heart. We no longer have to conform to those old ways. Peter's action steps continue. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus is revealed as obedient children. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Verse 15, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Post holy in the comments. This is such a radical stance in the midst of our world today. The word holy or holiness seems to have become a bad word in our culture. Don't mention that word holy. It makes everyone feel uncomfortable. Well, in the presence of God and His holiness, we all feel uncomfortable. Because He is wholly perfect, and we are not. He is wholly righteous, and we are not. He is wholly just, and we are not. He is all-loving, and we are not. Yet, He calls us to relationship with Himself. He has created us in His image. Because of that, the deepest longing of our souls, our hearts, is to connect, to commune with the living God. But our sin, the Bible says, separates us. So how can we have this relationship with God? Well, God's law, God's word helps us to see our sin. God, His Holy Spirit, then sets us free from our bondage to sin and sinning. The key is placing our faith in Jesus. He is the one who paid the price so that we could be forgiven, cleansed, set free. Peter continues, "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." This verse was originally found in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:2. Peter reminds Christ followers what God's intention has always been. "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." Well, what's different from the Old Testament then and the New Testament is that now God has provided a way. How is it that we can be holy as God is holy? God has given us spiritual power to do it. We place our faith in His Son Jesus and what He has done through His life, death, and resurrection. And then God sends the Holy Spirit to live within us. The Holy Spirit of God comes and begins the work of cleansing, healing, and redemption. It's a process that begins immediately, and yet it takes a lifetime. But overall, the news is very good. Remember this, in Christ, we no longer conform to the old way of life, but can now live a new life in the Spirit. What a glorious gift Almighty God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, new life, healing, redemption, and the power to be holy as God is holy. Do you know this life? Do you know this Holy Spirit power in Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Let's pray about it. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, loving Lord, we thank You for Peter's encouragement. We need to remember who we are in Christ, Your chosen ones, and what we have, a living hope and a future inheritance, and how to respond with faith during the trials. Lord, as we recognize and appreciate these blessings, help us to respond with our own action steps. As Peter encourages, help us to prepare our minds for action and to be self-controlled. Lord, help us to set our hope not on this world, but on Your grace in Jesus. And enable us to conform not to our old evil desires and ways, but instead help us to be holy as You are, God, holy. Lord, we thank You for the spiritual power we have in Jesus Christ to put off our old ways and to walk by faith and in holiness with You. It's all because of Him and the Holy Spirit at work in us. It's in His mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. Get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear about those and we want to be praying. And thank you for your generosity. You know, your giving, your ongoing gifts are helping us to care and to reach out and to new people for Jesus and His kingdom. You can always go online and use the app to make your gifts or go to the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this. In Jesus Christ, you no longer need to conform to your old life, but can live a new life in the Spirit. Hallelujah! For now, who do you know that needs this new life in the Spirit, this new life in Christ too?
Sweet much do you think it would cost to buy a singing ensemble? You mean a choir? Fine. How much do you think it would cost to acquire a singing ensemble? Did you know that Christ Church offers academic and music scholarships to active members? Applications must be submitted by 12 p.m. on Monday, June 13th. Contact Lisa in the church office for an application. The Stephen Ministers and Congregational Care Ministers of Christ Church have planned a special service of remembrance for Sunday, June 5th at 3 p.m. in the Janet Holt Chapel. The service is intended to provide an opportunity to remember and reflect on the lives of those who have gone before us. This time of quiet reflection includes a prayer, music, devotion, and a lighting of remembrance candles. For more information, contact Pastor Jim. Place your bids now. The bidding has begun in the People Place for the Youth Silent Auction and will conclude today at 12:15 p.m. All proceeds will go to lowering the cost of youth summer camps this year. You can find all this information and more on our website, cmctulsa.com.